Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello, welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I'm here with Dale Driver.
Hello, Simon.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, you know, as good as you can be. I'm also here with an old friend.
Hiya. It's me, Mr.
Gav Murphy.
Hiya.
Murphy is here.
I had a text from Cardi this morning. It's like, Gav, ratings are rock bottom since you've left. we need the big boy back. Rory's busy, yep. So can we
Croops
can
we already get done it.
Yeah. Croops is okay. Croops is there. He's for the mums. He's like the mother's favourite. But we've lost a big grot audience, so we need that back.
We need our edge back. Yeah. Before we get to that, of course there's a lot of bad stuff happening in the world, and we're still doing our podcast. We're still going to have an hour of us being silly, but just want to say first, you know, look after yourself. Take this time to educate yourself. Donate if you can, because Black Lives do matter. And if you disagree with that, then just turn off this podcast, please. So, yeah, that's what I have to say. I hope you two agree, because if you don't, then
imagine
I don't want you on here, frankly.
Like, it's been a tough week, I guess, for quite a lot of people. Like, we put out a thing on RKG thing on our Patreon, which, you know, not... I've been saying there's so much in the last year. Like, hopefully it goes without saying, but actually it's not enough to go without saying anymore. Yeah. You've actually got to start fucking saying stuff. And with the reaction that we've had after we put our post out from a lot of our Black community, they were just like, yeah, obviously they didn't know that this is how we felt, because you would like to think that lots of people aren't fucking racist, but these days, unfortunately, you actually got to say it and do actions about it. It's not enough to just say it as well. So, like, it's been a really, really tough week, but also a really sort of interesting week, in the sense of, like, it's opened up quite a lot of people's eyes, and hopefully things are not going to be the same now.
Definitely.
Which would be fantastic.
You can hope.
Yeah.
We can hope. So, yeah, if you have donated, thank you. I'm sure we will have and will continue to. Mm-hmm. But for now, we're going to talk about The Last of Us Part 2. Me and Dale have both now finished the game. We can't talk about what we think about the game until next Friday.
We wouldn't anyway. We want people to play it first as well.
No, but next Friday we'll give our impressions. We won't obviously do any spoilers whatsoever.
No.
So you can steer clear of that. I know Gav doesn't want us to spoil anything, so we won't be doing any of that.
I'll go fucking ape shit if you spoil it. Because, like, Dale's just saying, like, oh, did you watch any of the state? I haven't watched anything. Now that I don't have to, I go in as dry as possible. I don't fucking watch trailers. I don't watch behind the scenes shite. Because also, I've realized you don't need any of that shit. You don't need 14 different previews. Sorry, this is obviously IGN. I'd be like, you don't need 14 different previews for a game before it comes out.
Saying that, like, this week I did write a preview. if you'd like to read or watch that on IGN.
Some people need it, guys. Some people need it.
No, I completely understand. Like, you know, some people only buy, like, one game a year, and you know they have to decide whether or not that's the game for them. Me personally, I've made up my mind.
It's got loads of money, can afford all the games.
I was like, me personally, like I've made up my mind that I'm going to be playing Last of Us 2. I don't need.
Yeah, like, exactly. Playing, what we're saying is, you may only need one preview, and if you do, it's mine. So basically, that's also completely spoiler free. It just talks about combat. It's if you did watch the State of Play, it focuses on the area of the game we can talk about. It's about 1 to 2 hours long. It includes the area in the State of Play and a bit beforehand, which was the like park encounter from the like E3 2018.
Mm.
Is it 2018? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Gameplay reveal that they did. So yeah, read of that and you can see my impressions on combat. We're going to very briefly talk about it here, no spoilers, and just say basically how much better a combat experience it is than the first game. Because I think, although I think the first game is an absolute masterpiece, if there is one knock people have is that the gameplay is maybe slightly uninspired and a bit samey. I personally think it serves the story very well and I have no issues with it, but they've definitely just upped the ante in this one, and it just, it feels so, like, every action still feels so hefty, and it is so violent. It is maybe, like, the most violent game I've ever played, but without being at all gratuitous.
Like, it's a corny word for, you know, journalists and whatnot use, but visceral is the, if this is the ultimate game to use the word visceral.
Like, it's a corny word, but grot. Unadulterated grot.
But the, I think the, you know, the elevation in tech has really, like, lent into grot and and the visceral nature of it all. Like, how you feel, like, every single like attack that you do is like you said, so weighty and so physical.
Yeah,
and
they've kind of changed up how enemy encounters work as well. So in the first game, they kind of were a bit repetitive, but each fight in this just feels so dynamic. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the enemy faction you're fighting, the area, there's a lot more verticality, a lot more just weapons and crafting at your disposal. And so I think me and Dale talked about this, like, especially in this section, the human enemies are, they're so much more intelligent. They will just find you. Like, you can hide, but only for so long.
Yeah.
Because you have to keep moving. And although, and they don't miss many shots either, they are very accurate. So stay in cover. And the infected, while I think in this game they're scarier, your encounters with them, they are easier to kill, I think that's mainly due to Ellie having her knife, which means you don't, you basically have an unlimited shiv, so you don't have to craft.
Yeah.
Shivs.
I would say the infected fights, they're the parts that feel more familiar to the first game. Obviously, you've got new abilities and whatnot, but it's the human encounter that really stepped up, and it's like, it feels far more real as well. Like, I think I saw Neil Druckmann said, like, every enemy AI has a name as well. And they will, like, when they're in their groups, they will refer to each other as names as well. They'll acknowledge if their friend has been killed and stuff like that. And it just feels like you really feel like you're murdering people
and,
in that.
And the dogs have names as well.
Yes.
Which I don't want dogs.
Like I said in my preview, it's very unpleasant to have to kill the dogs, but it will make your life a lot easier.
Mm.
So you have a choice to make there.
I hadn't played the DLC for the first game at all, because, like, I came quite late to the first Last of Us, because I played the first 2 hours when it first came out. Didn't click with it at all. And then
clicker with it.
Please. And then, oh, come on. And then they've got you writing now, bloody hell. It's like, that's a strap line, isn't it?
I actually went with bloody hell.
I don't mind that. But yeah, so, and I didn't click with it at all. And then I went back months later. Didn't have anything spoiled for me, but I went back months later when I was really ill. I had food poisoning, and I just played it in like two sittings.
So go to the game about infection.
And I was like, this game's fucking brilliant. I love it. And then fell in love with it, and like, rightly so, and then replayed it. And then, but I'd never done the DLC, so I did it on a live stream on the RKG channel. And one thing that I really liked in the DLC, which I never had seen in the actual full game, was when you're fighting, I feel like it didn't come up in the full game, but when you're fighting, you're just about to go into an area with these humans, and then you can see some clickers. You can almost like set the clickers, set the infected onto the people. And I, like, that was my favorite bit of the DLC, because I was like, yeah, this should be happening all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that happens.
Well, yeah, in the preview section, it doesn't happen, so I can't say if it does or not, but definitely in the state of play, they tease that that is maybe an occurrence.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I also love everything. Like, we're talking about the weight of it. Like, even things like, I find there's a lot of glass smashing that goes on in The Last of Us 2. And it's like, just, you know, to make your way into buildings or to pop open vending machines and stuff like that. It's like the most satisfying sounding and feeling glass. Like, every time I feel like I'm actually doing it as well. And there's also, there's the, like the first game, there's the workbenches for upgrading your weapons as well.
Yeah.
Like, as someone who has some sort of an engineering background, the way they like upgrade their weapons now is so satisfying. Just watching them actually build these devices together.
Yeah. I think like that was the first time that I played the first game. The thing that didn't click with me was the crafting stuff, because it was at a time where it felt like every single game had to have some sort of crafted mode in it.
Yeah,
and that's why it didn't click with me, because I find, because in a game that is meant to be based in reality and like gets a lot of its emotional stuff from the fact that the game is so realistic and the characters so realistic, picking up a pair of scissors and having to wait until you can find some tape before you can use that as a shiv, I was like, that is 100% bullshit. Just like, just use the scissors as a shiv. And I know that's really, really small thing, but I don't know.
You've got a lot more options this time around. One of them, the thing I probably use the most is one of the new additions, which is you can craft silencers for your pistols, which help you out big time. So I think you need a canister and a rag.
That makes sense.
And I would say that for your pistol.
One last thing about the like general combat loop is the environments, like you said before, there's so much more verticality, but there's so much more. Like, every building has, like, cracks in the wall that you can sneak through. Like, it's truly your playground to sort of make this stealth interaction happen the exact way you want it to happen.
Yeah.
And with the AI, the fact that AI is so much smarter now, you have to be flexible and you have to be constantly moving and changing locations. You can't just camp in one corner, because they'll all, they'll surround you from the corner. It's,
they've definitely taken a few cues from other games, I think, when looking at combat. So I feel like there's a lot of, especially in one encounter in the previous section, you take on the Stalkers, which are they're not new infected, but they only very briefly turned up in the first game. And they're horrible, they're silent, you can't see them in listening mode. And that, there's one section in this preview mode that feels very much like it's straight from a Resi game. It feels like a little bit of survival horror for like a building. And then they've also, in this, like we were talking about, the stealth sections, it does feel a bit Metal Gear-y at times when you're crawling through the grass and just, they're like, there's no big exclamation marks, but people go like, who's that? And then
when I first saw there was a prone mode, like, you know, Rainbow Six or Metal Gear 5, I suppose, I thought, I'm probably never going to really use this. But like, it is so useful for even just like, you know, in a situation when you're in these worlds and you see these vehicles and you think, oh, I could probably get underneath that, but you normally can't. When this one, you can. And you can, like, while you're under there, it's, you can do everything you could do standing as well. Like, it, the stealth ideas are fantastic. It's like some of my favorite parts of the game, I think.
Yeah. It's great. The combat.
I can't wait, man. Like, I'm going to be playing it the same weekend as everyone else as soon as it comes out. Croops and I are taking the entire weekend pretty much to do it, although he has a live stream on Sunday evening. But to be fair, I think he'll probably be done Saturday night, I reckon, if he's, because if the plan goes to head. So yeah, it should be good.
We shall see. Next week we'll have our full impressions, which will also be spoiler free because we are not annoying people. So we'll move on to, because there's not a lot of other games news this week. There was meant to be, of course, the PS5 reveal, but that was, of course, rightly moved. We don't know when. They'll probably announce that as soon as we publish this, so that's good. We'll just move on to what we've been doing, apart from The Last of Us Part 2, which, well, of course, Gav, you've not been playing that. What have you been doing?
I've, out of everything that I think, and I think lots of people have been making some really good stuff in lockdown. I think for me, nothing that I've discovered has been better than Zaffa cakes.
I have seen a few of these clips and I am into it. I haven't watched a full stream yet.
So, Dale, do you know what it is at all? Let me just explain what it is anyway. But it's a stand-up comedian who I'd never heard of before this. Like, it's not having a go at him or anything like that. Like, there's a lot of stand-up comedians in Britain. but he's a British stand-up comedian who's done some YouTube stuff. But in the first or second week of lockdown, he started doing this thing, which is he, on Twitch, he started a channel where he live streams him as a manager watching PES games, old PES games. So I think it's
very
PES,
much our vibe.
Yeah, I think it's PES 5 or 6 that he's got that he's
using.
Yeah,
it looks like 5 to me.
Well, it's got Peter Brackley on the comms, so I think, and he did a couple of those, so I think it's one of those.
Wait, are they just people's gameplay that they put up on YouTube or?
No, his own. Oh, exactly. So it's him doing it, but instead of actually playing the matches, he does the simulation. But it's the mode where it's basically like pound shop football manager, because there is, like, you've got to bring in players and like they stuff happens. Like the week that I got into it, one of his players got sent back to his home country to do national service because it was a war.
What?
That's the clip I saw.
And that can happen, and then he comes back. But it's basically this guy, and he plays it kind of straight as if he is the actual real manager. And the idea is that the Twitch chat is his backroom staff.
Okay.
So everyone's kind of like weighing in on what players he should bid for and things like that. And then obviously the games happen and he's doing quite well. And I've seen him in two cup finals. And the other night was a second cup final and they won.
I assume he suits up for it then.
Well, he suits up for every single match.
Oh, right. Okay. He is the manager, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. He suits up for every single match. But also, as well, like, it sounds possibly a bit boring, but the thing that I think elevates it to that next level is it's not just a man sitting there watching Pez footage and kind of like messing around. What he also does, because he's on a green screen, he does post game press conferences.
Fucking hell.
He does team talks in the changing rooms with them. And obviously he's just changing the background. So these like crap background, but he's doing it all live. He's doing it all on the fly.
That's amazing.
Nice.
So it looks shonky as hell. Like, he has an office where he calls players in to like meet with him and stuff like that. And he's in this like little, he's small in this big chair.
Wait, hang on. So is he playing both parts or is he... Is he just the manager always?
He's the manager, but he also does the voices for all the players. Right, okay. But what he's done is he's used like the really... Because the graphics on the game aren't very good, but he's like photoshopped around these crap images of these players and he just brings them in and they look like freaks. and like he has arguments with them. Like there was a really good storyline where...
sounds amazing.
It's like real dream team.
Yeah, one of his strikers have been tweeting about him, calling him a dinosaur. then there was a big storyline where a new player that had come in, lots of the other players were making fun of his hat, and there was a bit of this like shenanigans going on. He got into a fight with one of the players, but now they're best friends. it's elements of like dream team wrestling.
Sounds good.
The bits I've seen I've liked, because mainly the guy who does it, he constantly looks like he's on the verge of tears, like either sadness or joy. Like, he constantly looks like he's on the edge.
It's like the visual version of your voice, Cardi.
Yeah, exactly. Pure joy and sadness.
Well, that's the thing as well. It's like because he plays it completely straight and all the results are real. So you get the cool thing where, like the other night, when I was going to say we, because that's how into it I am, but when we when we scored the winner, I stood up in my room. I was like, "We're fucking, we won!" Because all the results are real. You don't know how it's going to go. So,
wait, what's the team he plays? Is it a made-up team? Or?
It's a made-up team called Pez United, yeah.
All right, okay.
They've got a sponsor. They're sponsored by Pepsi. And that's Pepsi, P-E-P-P-S-Y. He's also flirting with a Bonjela sponsor as well, but that's not official yet. But like, just all this wild shit happens on the chat. Like, the Pepsi that everyone drinks is hot Pepsi, so everyone gets like a cup of hot Pepsi before the match and stuff like that.
Does he do transfer deadline day?
Yeah, do transfers. He does lots of transfers.
I should have done this with Football Manager months ago.
But honestly, it's like the streams are only like 2 hours long. I'll be honest, I don't watch a lot of Twitch because I feel like the language that Twitch streamers use and like fucking bits and all this shit that goes on. There's like almost like a meta game to Twitch that that I don't get.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas he does do a little tiny bit of that, but it never takes away from the actual stream.
Comedy. It's more like Limmy style, isn't it?
But it's also comedy like, led. It's someone, the thing that I really like about it is it's someone doing something different with live stream. It's not just him playing a video game for 2 hours, you know, like he's actually doing something with it. And it's only 2 hours, it's Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays. But it's really fucking.
I mean,
it
sounds like performance art, to be honest. So.
Yeah, it is kind of a bit like that. But also, he's put them all up on YouTube now, which is a good. Sweet. If you want, you can go back through. They're only 2 hours each, but he also puts a lot of clips up as well. But yeah, I'm banging to it. Out of everything I've watched, lockdown style, like
what's it
that's
called
amazing.
Again? How do you spell it?
Zafar Cake. Zafar. Cakes, Cakes. So Zafar Cakes. Yeah,
I will. Cheat. Like I said, I've seen clips, but I'm yet to watch a full one, so maybe I'll do that.
I think what you could do is if you go back, like, I think a good, because there's a lot of them now is the only thing, because he's been doing them for a while. So what I would maybe suggest is if you go back on his YouTube, like, 3 or 4 episodes, because then you'll get, like, the cup run. So you can kind of, you get a feeling for how the episodes go. But he's also started getting in, because he is a known stand-up comedian in the community, he's getting some stand-ups in to do, like the rich owner is Josie Long. So you like interview Josie Long and stuff like that. Like it's really worth having a look at because it's fucking wild.
So he's got some that he's, I'm looking at his YouTube channel. He's broken out to smaller clips as well. So
yeah, the clips are hilarious. Like the one that got me was when one of the players got sent back to his home country to do national service, and then he came back and there was like a storyline that he had like shell shock because the player was playing terribly.
I like it. It's very much my cup of tea.
Yeah, I think it was like, I mean,
stupid
like,
comedy.
I'm talking to men who were involved in a podcast about Football Manager, so hopefully I'm talking to the target audience.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Later.
Check
what
it out,
boys. What else
have
you been up to?
Me?
Yeah.
You want me to do straight away my thing as well?
Yeah, we take person by person. Someone doesn't listen anymore. Shows.
I can't. Well, if I'd be listening, I'd be listening through tears. I can't believe they didn't retire this whole thing when I left, to be fair.
You wait till we get onto the quiz section.
In my mind, they shut it all down. Like I was surprised IGN's still going. I've put it here just because, Dil, you and I have been talking about it a little bit over text. Because I'm a big Final Fantasy VII fan, but I can't get through it. I just can't get through it at all.
See,
and
I was never a Final Fantasy VII fan, but I absolutely loved this game.
Yeah, I've given a little break so I can go back to it maybe because I was just finding it a massive slog. Because I thought I'd talk about it because I know you guys have played it, so I could kind of tell you where I am, and then you can tell me if I've got anything good coming up. But I don't know what it was. I think, you know, the opening 3 hours, I feel like just getting to spend time with these characters that I loved as a kid was enough. And hearing like, man, I was getting so excited just hearing like little tiny motifs of music, hearing the full things, because in my mind, that's what it sounded like when I was fucking 13 years old. Exactly, you know what I mean? Like it sounded that good, but actually hearing an orchestra do it, is really, really strange. But I don't know, after that, if I'm not in a battle.
That's what I was just going to say. The thing that kept me... So I had very similar opinions to you. Like I thought I loved a lot of it, but I thought there's quite huge sections that are just drawn out and a slog, and they don't need to be that long. And the thing that constantly kept me going, like really enjoying the game, was the battle system. Like I really enjoyed the combat.
Yeah, the combat is the best.
But I do think there's long sections that just don't need to be in that game at all.
I agree. The middle of the game is bloated. I would say it's worth getting to the end just because some of the combat sections in the last few hours of the game are amazing.
Yeah, the combat sections are. Yeah, I don't know if I'd say the rest of the end game is good, but yeah.
Well,
so I'm actually going to live stream myself finishing it because I needed to put a date on it. I need to have this game out of my life, man. On the 14th, I'm going to do the last 2 chapters live. So I need
Are you promoing live?
Yeah, well, it's all right. But yeah, like, I'm going to do the last two chapters live because I need to put a date on it so I can just get it out of my life now.
Mate, you don't want to do all the post-game stuff. You don't want to go back.
Well, this is the thing. I'm basically going through all... I'm doing every single one of the like little missions. I think that's maybe what slowed me down.
Yeah. Because
when you get to like where Aerith lives and then you're doing all those little kid missions.
Yeah.
Mm. I can't believe
those are the only ones I didn't
now.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you fight against the Toad King.
I was doing all that and I was like, I can't believe this is a game made for adults. This is insane.
How many hours have you put into it then?
I think I'm on like 25, something like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So I was going to say, like, I did a good chunk of it, but there was loads of stuff I missed, and I think I did it in like 30 hours-ish.
Oh, okay.
But then
I've been doing every single thing before I moved on.
Yeah, I did go back and I probably put in another 20 hours easy on the side quests. But I was also doing stuff for work. I was doing lots of features and things to work with it. Yeah. So I was going back to do a lot of that. And then there's really hard boss battles in that you get on hard mode as well that I went back to try out as well. But it sounds like, you know, maybe you're not going to do that. Sounds like just get to the end and then you're done
with it. Get on with the story, mate. Get on with it.
Yeah, I think... That's the only thing as well is like, I kind of not feel, and anytime I just not feeling the characters and the way they talk to each other and interact and stuff like that. Like, it feels like a lot of the interactions kind of just go nowhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time a character will run off and I'll be like, I'd rather go with that person than B Cloud.
Yeah.
But it is wild because like, I think in my head I was like, oh, maybe they'll do some really cool shit. Because what's the name of the little dweeby fella that you get your summoning materia from?
Oh, Chadley.
Chadley.
Chadley. Yeah. When I first saw him, I was like, because I played that game quite a bit before it came out, I was like, people are going to go apeshit for this little freak kid. And then when it came out, no one gave a fuck. And I was like, maybe I'm the weird one.
He was just a little weirdo.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I thought he was a little weirdo until... his sections became my favorite sections of the game where you have to fight the cool summons. And I was like, this is wicked.
Yeah.
Like, this is genuinely good.
Did you go and speak to him when you had your dress on and Cloud was in his dress?
Oh, no, I didn't.
He gets a boner, mate.
Oh, he gets a boner.
He doesn't say boner, but he says, oh, what is this new sensation I'm experiencing?
Thing is, there's so much of it that I genuinely love. There's so much that I genuinely love, including. Little kid get. I mean, he's not a little kid. He is of age because he's by himself. But
is that what? Because he's by himself, he's of age.
Well, because
he's wearing little school shorts, mate.
He's running a business,
a VR business on the street.
He's an entrepreneur. I thought because he's running a business, he must be all it. But also, I do generally like just the silliness of it now and again. Clara came in at one point, and this isn't a spoiler, but Clara came in, she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I've got to fight this haunted house so I can get £1 million to buy my mate a nice dress.
Wall Market is my favorite section because that's when I like Final Fantasy VII, when it's being like super wacky and just weird. But some of the serious, more serious stuff, I don't think resonates with me as much as it did when I was a kid.
And I think like that's the thing because I, even as a kid, I played Final Fantasy VII, and it was during that like amazing PS1 era where, like, I think as a kid, like Dale, you and I, like similar ages, like you're getting exposed to games like that for the very first time. Whereas now, like, that is what games is. Do you know what I mean? Like, games aren't fucking platformers. They're not, you know, fighting games, and that's it. Whereas, it's like, you know, Metal Gear Solid, the first time you play that, Final Fantasy VII for me, like, you're getting exposed to this new way of thinking about video games, and I think that is incredible. But I think now I just was expecting a bit much. But even after then, I tried a couple of JRPGs, but none of them clicked with me in the same way. Like, I played all the rest of the new Final Fantasies up until after. I didn't play any more after 10 because I was just like, maybe JRPGs just aren't for me, really.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
And I think, like, some elements of this, like, I did tweet about how I thought the dialogue and the acting was crap in Final Fantasy VII, and loads of people were just like, yeah, that's what JRPG. Like, I applaud them for keeping the wackiness of the crappiness of a JRPG. I was like, just because it's normal doesn't mean that it's it's a good thing.
Fucking Garth Marenghi. It's not designed to be shit on purpose. Like, they're trying to do their best. They were trying to make it good, and they're just not very good at it.
But I tweeted a video clip, which is when you're in Iris's house and her mum is talking, and I was like, her mum acts and sounds like the mum in the room. Yeah, like, I kept expecting to be like, I just come back from the doctor.
I've got a clip
got
saved
the results.
On
I definitely have Mecco poison.
I've got a clip saved on my PlayStation that I haven't published of when you could just go up to her mum at one point and press triangle, and she just goes, and I've just like spammed it for a minute long. It's ridiculous.
Good.
Oh, Gab, you need to finish it, by the way, because I want to know what you think of the ending.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, everybody that I know who's in Final Fantasy be like, can you please finish this so we can talk about the ending? So I will do that. Yeah. I will have finished it next Sunday. So there we go. Cool.
Brilliant. There we go. Finish it for The Last of Us. There you go.
Okay.
Has to be done. After playing The Last of Us, I jumped back into Uncharted 4 because, A, I love that game very, very much. And but I just needed something a bit lighter. So that is exactly what Uncharted is.
He killed 300 people.
I know, he kills so many people. Drake is unbelievable. But I'm a few hours in. I'm like, I don't know, like a quarter of the way into Uncharted 4. I love that game so much. I love all the Uncharted games, to be fair.
I did love that game, but my long-lasting memory of that game is that it's a bit too long. And then I can remember the boss battle at the end that's on like the pirate ship with the swords and stuff. But like it sort of was like I remember the first three so vividly compared to the fourth one, which kind of just sort of
the fourth is my favorite. I think mainly because it's the most. I think it tells the best story by far, and the twists and it's the most emotionally charged.
I don't remember it.
I do. That's the thing. I do want to go back and play them because I'm trying to get Clara to play them because Clara's never played them. But
that'd be great.
It's really hard because. I think as much as I really liked the first one at the time, I think that is the one that's on the cusp of being.
It's
crap.
Not that. It's not that great. Like, it does some good, maybe. Some
you're fighting
good
fucking
character.
Zombies at the end, like.
Yeah. Like, it establishes who everyone is. But I think you could at this point start with two and know what's going on.
I think, but like four has some really good moments. I think for me, the moment where your lady turns up. Is it Elena? Where Elena turns up to like save the day, because I think what they do to her character is a little bit crap. They kind of have her. I think having a lady as a nag in anything, who has previously shown that she's an absolute badass, is crap. I just don't like that at all. But saying that,
I think they show it as more. From my view, it's always they're showing Drake as being a bad person rather than her being a nag. If you know what I mean?
But, I think. But that bit where she turns up and they're kind of like driving the Jeep through the jungle and it's really awkward between the two of them. You're not sure what's going to happen. And it's the point where, you know, where he realizes, actually, no, I really do need to change. That entire section, I was like, oh my God, this feels really grown up for a video game. And at the time, like, I was a bit gutted. There wasn't any big deaths or anything like that because I kind of felt like if there was, it would kind of elevate that game a little bit, but actually what they do in that little section is fucking ridiculously growing up
relationship, which I won't spoil for anyone at the end, but I think that's just incredible. And the one on playing it again, the thing I do love about it is there's whole long sections that don't have any combat and it is just puzzle solving and doing the Indiana Jones thing, and those are the bits I like most about Uncharted, is where you just feel like Indiana Jones solving ridiculous puzzles that would never exist ever. You know,
did you play Lost Legacy? Did you like that?
I did really like it. That's probably my second. I've only ever played that one once. So yeah,
that's the thing. I've never played it. So Dale, I've still got the copy that you gave to me. So I think it came in.
I didn't even remember that.
you played it in, like, I think you obviously finished it in the wild way that you finished it.
But Lost Legacy, Lost Legacy is like 6 hours long. Come on.
No,
but
it's much longer than that. It's like 10.
Is it? I remember it being significantly shorter than Uncharted.
Dale, you've got a knack, though. I feel like you finish games just by looking at the fucking cover of them. Like, you devour games. So I've still got your Lost Legacy. I've never played it. I've been wondering if I should go and play it. And I've seen lots of people say it's their favourite Uncharted, but I don't know if that's just them being like...
No, it could be.
The English Patient is my favourite film.
Yeah. It's in Schindler's List.
I do think it's very good. It takes a lot of what was great from Uncharted 4 and does streamline it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one, like the main area is basically just one big open area you go in a lot of places between. And Nadine and Chloe are both very good. But you do, I just do love Nathan Drake as a character, so it loses a little bit for me.
Yeah, you're losing
but it's still
the,
a great game.
You're losing the quips and stuff, aren't you?
There's some great sequences near the end that are like, you know, everyone goes on about the train in Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities there, so it's definitely worth playing. Mm.
Do you play as... So who do you play as in Lost Legacy?
You play as Chloe.
Right, okay.
Do you play as both, though? Do you play as Nadine as well?
Nadine's definitely your companion for the majority of it, but you might switch over. I have a hazy memory of that game, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's very, very good. So I've been playing that and enjoying it. And I've also finally got in to Divinity Original Sin 2.
Fucking nerd.
One Matt Perslow's favourite game, I believe he would...
Right.
I believe it's his favourite game. I don't want to be wrong with that. Yeah. So 6 months ago, I got it for... It was about 6 months ago when it came to Switch. I played the first hour and I was like, I'm into this. And then things happened and I couldn't carry on because it's, what, a 100-hour RPG.
Jesus,
I fell off it. And this week, I messaged Matt. I was like, I want to get into this game. Should we co-op it for a bit? So I'm now about 17 hours in. Mm. So I'm now fully into it, and I can see why people love this game. I've been co-oping it mainly with Matt, but doing bits by myself. It's got those bits of... It's just got solid... I'm not amazed by the combat. It does a really good job, though. I like it. I enjoy it. But it's also got the bits I love so much of games like Disco Elysium, where you can just talk your way through and out of a lot of situations.
Yeah.
And I've never actually ever played a game of Dungeons and Dragons, but I can see from this what people get out of that.
Okay.
It's just the character and the world building and making your own way through this world and basically creating your own story as you go. So
that's the thing. It's like it I've seen it and I know lots of people that really like it. It's so feels so far removed from what I enjoy doing in video games that I can tell you, hand on my heart, I'll never touch it. But I do watch a Let's Play of it. So Rock, Paper, Shotgun do a Let's Play. I think it's weekly. I'm so behind. I'm about
20
episodes
behind. They're on like episodes, what, like 90 of that, aren't they?
75. I'm just looking at it now. So they've been doing a Let's Play for over a year of it. It's a very laid back Let's Play, as I'm sure you can imagine, being fucking 75 episodes long. But like, I've been watching that, and like, I don't intently watch that Let's Play. I usually have it on in the background if I'm doing something, because the two hosts are quite just funny together and I just like them together. But I'm absolutely fine experiencing it that way.
I think you could, like a lot of people, I think, enjoy watching games of Dungeons and Dragons as much as playing them, as far as I know. I don't want to speak for people who like Dungeons and Dragons, but that's what I've gathered.
I texted Dale about this the other day, but Clara's been doing a thing recently because she's been working from home, and Clara's been doing a thing where she watches like full gameplay playthroughs of games without any commentary or anything on them. Like,
a lot of people love that, just watching them as films.
Crazy to me.
I've gone in, I was like, you do know that your boyfriend has a business which is reliant on people watching Let's Play. She was watching Resi 7 recently. I was like, oh, we did a Resi 7 playthrough. She's like, I know what's out there. Like, but she just, because it's like, it's because she plays video games. It's all games that she'll never play. Like, she loves horror, but she gets too scared playing horror games. Right. So she doesn't mind watching horror playthroughs. But the other day, she watched an entire playthrough of the newest Far Cry.
That's a bit odd.
Wait, New Dawn?
No, what the
five?
Five?
Yeah, the five. The one with the cults and stuff. She really likes cults. So she watched the entire playthrough of that. And I was like, that is pretty good. And to be fair, I watched the gameplay and the guy was fucking incredible, whoever he was. Yeah. It was like never a shot missed. It was like watching an E3 demo of someone playing the game. So I was I do kind of understand that.
But that's like 40 hours. And a lot of that is just the same sort of stuff over and over again.
That's right, Dale, it is, yeah. So,
I mean, I think if you're going to watch that amount of time, you might as well play it and have fun with it. But, you know, each to their own.
I think that's the thing, is like she doesn't have the time to play it. Because
no, but it's the
working.
Same amount of time to watch it.
No, but if
not
you've
if
got
they're
it,
very you, good and they know it by heart.
I suppose.
But it's not the same amount of time, though, is it? Because she can do something else while she watches it.
Okay,
so she's
right,
she's
yeah.
painting yeah. and she's drawing while she's watching Fair it. Whereas enough. If she was playing it, she'd be sitting there playing it.
I don't watch those, but I will say very handy videos on YouTube if you need a small clip for a video and you can't yeah. capture it yourself.
Well, that's the thing. I saw she was watching. I was like, is that YouTube channel called MK Ice and Fire? She was like, yeah. I was like, I know it.
Dale.
Yo.
What you been up to?
I've been playing The Last of Us, but obviously I'm not talking about that. So a couple of television things to watch. So we spoke about Dave the other week, didn't we? You brought it up, Caddy.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sounds interesting, I'm going to stick it on. And then, like, literally 24 hours later, I blasted through the entire season.
I think Joe did a very similar thing as well.
Yeah. That is a good show. And I feel like it's going solid. Under the radar slightly.
Yeah. So yeah. I've heard a lot of people talk about this now. So I saw Powers does a podcast with a guy called Kit, called This Paranormal Life's fucking incredible podcast. But his partner, Kit, tweeted about it. So I was like, okay, I'm not watching anything at the moment. I'll stick it on. I need a good, like, I like FX's approach to half funny stuff, whereas you know, like What We Do in the Shadows, Atlanta, like I like that approach to it, so I thought I'd watch it. And I watched the first episode and I really didn't like it. So, but then Joe was like, text me about it, going, have you watched Dave? You will fucking love it. And I was like, I couldn't get past the first episode. He's like, watch it past episode 3, which I never generally like when people talk about TV stuff. It's just like, the first episode should be the best. But I am going to go back to it because now it's just like you guys, everybody's saying how good it is.
Yeah, so I would
I really
say,
like it.
Go on, Caddy.
Yeah, I put it with that caveat that I do think if you don't get on with him as a character, you won't get on with the program. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they found their
really
feet
like
as the show went. Like, it definitely feels like the first 4 episodes, it's going for more sort of shock, elements of gross out comedy. Almost like Kirby Enthusiasm situations where he gets himself into these predicaments. And then as the show sort of settles down, it just becomes more of a character show where it's just more about the bond of these characters together and how they interact with each other. And then, you know, how like sort of narcissism can sort of like dominate the way they interact with each other as well. And like, I think the last like 2 or 3 episodes are like phenomenal episodes.
Oh, wow.
Like, really,
the last
really
episode
good.
Is so, especially the first, I think it goes on for about 8 minutes. The start. I don't want to ruin what it is, but it goes on and on and on, and it is incredible.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, I think the 9th episode was my favorite one, but I also love the final one as well. But like the 9th one especially is like there's truly like poetic moments in there as well, because it really well, and it still has elements of funny stuff as well. But definitely in the first few episodes, that, you know, like the opening scene is him and the doctors talking about how weird his dick is and stuff like that. That's definitely what they were going for at first, but then it feels like it sort of grows up a little bit during
that's
the
what
season.
I'm saying. It kind of, the series starts as trying to be like a Lonely Island pop star and morphs into Atlanta the more it goes on.
Definitely, I'd say that's a very good way to describe
it. I'm definitely gonna check it out, because like I really didn't like his girlfriend in the first episode.
Okay.
Oh, she's thought she's great.
But then I also felt the same way about, I don't know if you guys have watched Love.
I hate that show.
Yeah, I did really like it, but I didn't like the last series of it.
Yeah, so I felt the same way about the roommate, the Australian roommate Love.
Oh,
I really didn't like her, and then by the end of the show I fucking loved her. I thought she was really good, because they did a little bit more with her, so I'm really hoping that they do something good with her, because I think that was the main gripe I had with her. I didn't like her, but I did kind of I did really like the sort of silly scheme in the first one where they're trying to get the rappers to notice him, sort of thing. And I was like, I kind of like that. I thought that was quite funny. But yeah, I've got play through some Animal Crossing stuff after this. So I'll stick it on.
Stick it
on. See how I go.
Still on iPlayer for a while, I think.
Yeah.
So.
I also watched the first episode of Snowpiercer, a Netflix show. Have you guys put that on yet?
I have no interest.
I didn't even know this existed.
What?
Like, I didn't know it was coming. I didn't even know, like, because I love the film, thought it was great.
Yeah.
But so I didn't even know they'd made this. So I saw the trailer, and then I was like, oh, that'll be cool when it comes out. It's fucking out.
Yeah. Well, it's a weekly release as well. Right? It's not just all dropped. So I think maybe, I've only watched the first episode, but I think they may be on the third episode right now.
Is it one of those things where it's like it's on a network in America, but Netflix in the UK have got it? Yeah.
I believe so, because otherwise, why would Netflix not just drop it all at once?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Like, I really want to speak to someone else who's watched it as well, because I'm not sure how I feel about it. Because the production levels are pretty good, but the first episode, a lot of it, the first half, it just feels like the film. I'm just watching the exact same thing again. And yes, they have, like, they've changed something, like Chris Evans' character isn't there anymore. They've changed up the main character and whatnot. Yeah. And Jennifer Connelly's in it as the, the main antagonist woman.
The Tilda Swinton character.
Yes, that's the one, yeah. And I think that there's elements there that are intriguing, but then there's something really missing for me. And so that's why I haven't watched the second episode yet, because I still haven't really decided what I think of it.
I'm intrigued to see how they stretch that into a series. I only watched the film less than a year ago for the first time. I thought it was okay. I didn't love it. There was something missing for me. I don't know what it was. I think I was just going off the Boone hype.
Yeah.
And really...
Well, I think, like, the thing that I really liked about the thing that I thought about the film, and which is why I'm quite excited to watch the show, is when I watched the film, obviously we're coming into, so people don't know, basically, I think the world is fucked and gone. And it's like everybody in the world lives on a train.
Everyone is right. Everyone is left over, yeah.
Yeah. So they all live on this train. So you end up having this community on a train that is still based on, like, the really, really bad stuff that happens in the community. So there's still really, like, horrible class stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the class stuff is very on the nose as well. Like, it's the high class at the top of the train, the lowest class at the bottom of the train.
But, like, I remember when I watched the film, obviously in the film then, you're coming to it where everyone's going mad and there's like a big uprising and stuff. And I was like, okay. But I kind of, the thing that I was really excited, I was like, I want to see how this works day to day.
So the TV
show. Which I'm hoping is a little bit what happens
So the TV show starts off in like pretty much an identical way. But what I'm hoping for is maybe even a Lost style situation where during the show you see glimpses to the past about that sort of stuff. Maybe that's the best way of doing it. Like, so it's not too spoilery to say that the main character he had a job in the real world and they have a need for him. So it's like they're developing. You can see what the long-term story is potentially going to be or where it's going to go. But it didn't feel like, I suppose it's the first episode, you've got to sort of establish the rules of the world, right? And the film does a great job of establishing those rules at the start. And you've got to assume people haven't seen the film before they watch this as well. So
yeah, I think that's obviously the thing. It's like, obviously, from looking at the trailer, it is going to follow the exact same storyline as the film, where it's like, we've had enough. That's enough of it. And I'm not saying that I don't want that to happen. And I don't think that I think that it should happen. But I kind of would have liked to have seen it. I think that's the same reason why I kind of fell out of Westworld.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed Westworld as, like, I hate what happened to those poor robots. But, like, I enjoyed, like, it working. And I kind of would have liked more mystery set within the actual Westworld world rather than let's break out of this. And now they've broken out. And now I'm just like, oh, okay. It's the same as, like, Prison Break. After they get out of prison, you're like, I don't need any more of this.
Yeah. Same for me with any sort of Jurassic Park film. I think the best bits are always in the parks or the world.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, well, I'll watch Snowpiercer if people start raving about it, but I don't think I'm going to start.
I am going to watch it for sure, because I really love the film. But yeah, if that's the thing, it's like, am I going to be putting all this time into watching what is essentially a really long version of the thing that I liked?
Yeah. I might just wait for a few episodes and then one day just do a bunch in a row and then see how I feel about it again.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Yeah. Should we move on to a section we now have to do because Gav left?
Okay.
Here we go. Inside is the UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search? This week, I've got a quiz sent in from Mark Harrington. He says, "Hi fellas, after listening for a number of years, I thought it's time to stop being so lazy and contribute something.
Good.
So I'm sending in a suggestion for the endless search. Hopefully Cardi is picking the quiz this week, as he seems to be the only other human on the planet who enjoys the endless starch, the game where you change one letter in the name of a game or movie to give it a different meaning provide a clue for what the new name is.
Wasn't the general consensus that we liked this?
I do think we like it, but yeah. Maybe I offer more enthusiasm than you do. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, every moment of every day I think about that.
Was this the one that I played live? No.
I
played Kojima's tweets, which I think whoever came up with that is a fucking genius.
Yeah, like, that's a very good game. Good, I can't remember how that one came about. So yeah, here are 10 games. They're all video games with one of the letter changed and a clue for those titles. So here we go. Number one. The star of Sophie's Choice and Mamma Mia gets into a scrap with Ryu, or Ryu, however you want to say that.
What? Oh, no idea. Hang on. Star of Sophie's Choice.
It's just one letter changed in the video game name.
Oh, so Street Fighter.
It is Street Fighter, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
There we go. 1-0 to Gav.
Okay, I get this.
But yeah. Streep Fighter.
Oh, okay. Right.
Sorry. Just let me note down these scores.
I like this game because it's a game where you've got to have your mind... You've got to be in it. And if you're thinking about anything else, you're never going to get it.
My
mind's not in it at the moment.
But you got it. You're 1-0 up. Right, okay. Number 2. Catapult a multitude of miffed Shakespeares at some egg-stealing pigs.
What? Oh,
Catapult a multitude of miffed Shakespeares at some egg-stealing pigs.
Miffed?
Yeah.
Did you say miffed as in, like, pissed off?
Yeah. Yeah. Another word for that as well.
A film. Yeah, if you've got the wrong game, though, you're fucked. That's the problem.
I've got the game, I think.
What Angry was Bards. It is Angry Bards.
I had the right game as well. I just wasn't thinking.
There we go.
Yeah.
2-0 to Gav.
Yeah, I'm going to be terrible at this.
Number 3. An intellectual Englishman and his young accomplice arrange a small town with their puzzle-solving exploits.
Oh, okay. Another game.
This one's actually very specific.
Can you read it again? Sorry.
Yeah.
An intellectual Englishman and his young accomplice enrage a small town with their puzzle-solving exploits.
Professor Hayton?
Oh, that's good, but it's not what it is.
I'm worried that it's a subtitle that I don't know.
It's one of the Professor Layton games.
Yeah. I don't know the subtitles of those games.
Professor Layton and...
Fuck. Hang on.
He's enraged a small town. Enraged, even? A small town.
But I'm trying to think of...
Literally don't know any of the subtitles, so this
is pointless. I think I know one, and it's got fucking village in it.
Don't Google.
The Furious Village, is it?
It is Furious Village.
Gav gave me the hint there. It reminded me of it.
There we go.
What's the actual title?
Curious Village.
That's it. Professor Layton games are fucking amazing.
They're so good.
How are we not getting any more then?
Yeah, there's no new ones on Switch as far as I know. They're all re-releases and stuff.
Professor Layton remains the only figure that I've ever bought. because you got a little chair and a table and a little tea set. So I had it on my desk. He's just having a little cup of tea. It's fucking great.
I like that.
Yeah.
I could play one of them right now, actually.
Yeah.
Right. Number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Moranis, Astley, Flair, and Wakeman come together to play music using plastic instruments.
Rick's Band.
It is Rick Band, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I was thinking of like 80s connections and stuff. I was like, what?
Moranis, Astley, Blair. 3-1 together.
That's very good, that one.
A ground-dwelling invertebrate uses fruit-based preserves in an attempt to save Princess What's-Her-Face.
Say it again. Oh, Earth, Moon, Jam.
It is Earth, Wind. Gav. He's on it.
He's on it. He's got his mind in it now.
The quiz master has become.
If you get in it, you're in it.
4-1 to Gav. Right. Number 6. Alan Partridge's one-time friend attempts to survive on a spooky ship. I really like this one.
Oh, fuck. I'm a spooky ship.
Alan Partridge's one-time friend attempts to survive on a spooky ship.
The Curse of Obra Dan.
No, but that
that works.
It works. If it helps, you've got the right character.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Man and Madan.
That is just the name of the game, so you have to change
Man
it.
Man of Madan.
Change it again.
The Dan of Madan?
Dan of Madan.
It is the Man of Madan. It works as well.
I know, but you have to change the name.
That is good.
Yeah, there we go.
Curse of Obra Dan is fantastic.
It's also very good.
I know I toot my own horn, but come on.
4-2 to Gav. A brutal fight which results in a fatality takes place in the Aperture Science Labs.
Portal Combat.
Nice. Love it.
4-3. It's getting tense.
It's getting tense. I shouldn't have given away three that village. More.
Shouldn't have given away the secret tip of getting your mind in it. That's what swung it for me.
Mind games. Set sail with some friends to pilfer some PG tips.
Oh.
Tea of Thieves.
It is Tea of Thieves.
I was thinking Monkey Island.
Scab gets the tea one.
I was like, how can I make
tea
this work?
Island. 5-3, so Gav can't lose.
Oh, fantastic.
But it can be a draw.
It's a good feeling.
Race around in cars weighing approximately 0.03 ounces. Okay. 0.03 ounces / 0.002 pounds, if that helps.
Goddamn,
depending if you're metric.
Really.
Or... How much would that weight be? Race around in cars weighing very little.
Oh my god. Literally cannot think of another unit of measurement. I don't even know what game it could be. Oh, no.
Oh, we had a moment.
I'm just thinking of racing games. That's all. So I'm just trying
think
to
think of weight measurements. Think of what do you weigh? What weigh things then?
Well, what did you say though? Ounces or pounds?
He said both.
It's 0.03 ounces or 0.002 pounds is the exact measurement of what we're looking for.
I can't think of anything else other than
whatever.
What would you measure like flour in?
No.
Gram?
Oh.
If that helps.
What I think of is burnout needs speed.
I'll give you a You're gonna kick yourself.
Gran Turismo.
It is Gran Turismo. Yeah. There we go.
Very good.
These are good questions.
I like them.
Thanks, Mark. We've got one more. Dale needs for the tie.
Okay.
It's 5-4. This one's very much hit its target audience. All right. An episodic point and click adventure in which you invade. Point of click is maybe a little misleading.
Okay.
It's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure in which you evade zombies who are preoccupied with pleasuring themselves.
The Wanking Dead?
It is The Wanking Dead, yes.
Oh, they know me well. They got me.
I don't mind getting the draw on that. I don't mind the draw on that.
There we go.
Hey,
tie.
If I'm going to lose, I want to lose to the best.
Can that be the name of the episode as well, by the way?
No one loses. No, I'm not putting that in the title. Oh, good game. Let's get on. We got a lot of feedback. We're going. Thank you so much for all your drowning/near drowning stories. We're going to dedicate some time to that in the near future, but we don't feel that this week is the best time to be doing that.
What the fuck?
For
are you
what
talking
may
about?
Seem obvious reason, I don't even know how we got on to the near drowning stories.
It was Joe at the end of an episode just said. Tell us about times you nearly drowned.
Right.
Just out of nowhere.
So, but this time we've got a mixture of feedback. Okay. We've got a little bumper section for some stories, including some horror stories from holidays. So, Joe, kick it off. Joe? Sorry, Dale.
What?
Joe's not here.
How rude. Anyway, this is from JD. And he says, greetings from Wisconsin. I can't believe it's finally happened. A random tangent of the IGN UK podcast has finally perfectly intersected with my life. My grandparents owned an emu farm where about... fuck's sake. Where about...
Oh, Gab, in case you didn't know, sorry. Dale is terrified, we've discovered, of emus and ostriches.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, yeah. You never know what they're going to do.
Exactly. They make eye contact with you and they're the same height as you. It's freaky. And they just run out. Anyway. Where are we? My grandparents owned an emu farm where about 10 to 12 emus lived for most of my childhood. As my grandparents lived quite close, I was often over there quite often and was always told to stay away from the beasts as they would crush my skulls with their feet before I could close the gate behind in their pens. Yes, you can quote my grandpa on that one. Nonetheless, my grandpa frequently entered the enclosure to feed them and retrieve eggs with any harm being done to him. One day, in my earnest youth, I asked my grandpa, how come you get to go in there with emus and I don't? He replied, because I show no fear. If I was intimidated or showed weakness, they would surely peck my eyes out. That's the problem, see? I'm terrified of them. They'd kill me immediately. Rather than heed my grandfather's wise words, I took it as a challenge. One unforgettable summer day, the whole family was visiting for a holiday. So naturally, I took a couple of cousins and we headed straight for the emu pen. And well, all the cousins remember the following moments differently, but I know what I saw. An emu approached my older cousin inquisitively, slowly and merely curious. Then my cousin flinched for no good reason. The emu then pecked at his shoulder, leading my cousin to scream as though the emu had sliced him open like a velociraptor. We expedited our little selves out of the pen, thinking our experience was over. Except, being children, we forgot to lock the pen behind ourselves. The remainder of the day was spent with the kids inside the house, watching all our parents try to wrangle the escaped emus and bring them back to their pens. None of us were ever allowed to so much approach the emus again, not that any of us particularly wanted to. Hope you all enjoy the story. Regardless if you read it on the podcast or not, I understand you may not want to give Dale nightmares. Thanks, cheers. Thanks for existing and bringing a smile to our faces. Whether we're a person who wants a Snyder Cut or a person that rightfully thinks a Snyder Cut will be quite bad.
Dale, would you rather fight a clicker or an emu in real life?
A clicker, because they can't see you, so like it's fine as long as I'm quiet. Chance. Yeah, more fair of a chance. As long as I'm quiet, I can avoid them. Emus, like they smell good my point. Fear. They smell my fear immediately. So
I love it.
Good. Next up, we have two pieces of feedback from Robert Clark, who gave us two great holiday disaster stories. I'll read the first one, then Kev will do the second. So, this is from Robert, I don't know what you want to be known as. I'm going with Rob. His trip to Thailand with his mate Jimmy, and his lesson learned that you should never go on holiday for a month with someone whose name is Jimmy. I don't know if that's necessarily true. Yeah, but
we'll find out.
There you go. We'll find out. Yeah. So, they got bored of doing the uber touristy bits of Thailand and headed out to Khao Sok National Park and stayed in the jungle. After our Pennine snapper fish, we felt adventurous and asked the hotel if they could set us up on something cool. Ever so quickly, they asked us to get back in the they asked us to get in the back of a van and took us out through Jurassic-looking jungle out to a strange rubber plantation. They whistled over a 14-year-old boy and simply said, "This is Mr. Pop." and he's going to take you up the mountain and into the caves. He pulled out a machete and made us two walking staffs so we could ascend the mountain. Why we followed a 14-year-old boy up into the mountains who didn't speak any English, other than watch, is beyond me. Mr. Pop, I can't believe his name's Mr. Pop. I keep thinking of Panda Pops.
In my head, Mr. he's very Pop. Much like Chadley right now. I don't know why.
Mr. Pop gave us a bottle of water and sent us up. About halfway, we were exhausted, and this didn't feel like a normal tourist adventure. All of a sudden, Mr. Pop yelled, "Watch!" and pointed to the ground, and all you could see was a gaping hole that you couldn't see the bottom of. There was only a metre or so wide. Jimmy said, "Wouldn't it be funny if you fell down there, Mint? My nickname is Minty because my name is Robert Backwards, and that's Treble Mints." Nice little detail there.
Okay.
I nervously laughed, dripping with sweat. I moved up beyond it and all of a sudden my walking staff snapped in two and the ground was soaked from rainfall from the previous night and I quickly slipped down into the hole, into the ground, holding onto just a tree root to stop me going all the way in. This sounds horrible. Yeah. It sounds like Uncharted. It wasn't funny anymore. It does sound it. Whereas Jimmy had collapsed laughing and was of no help as I yelled for help, Mr. Pop came sliding down the mountain, like on back, and held onto my forearm. Yes. I remember looking up at him like Frodo did with Sam in Mordor. Mr. Pop had some insane strength and pulled me out with a smile on his face, said nothing, and just laughed and lit up a leafy cigarette and took us deep into the caves. After the cave trip, it started to rain and we had to get down quickly via ropes attached to trees. This sounds horrible.
Yeah.
And we went to a jungle base camp and had coffee from bamboo shoots and sat in the van looking like we've just been through 28 days later. And a bunch of Americans said, "Did you guys trip down the mountain or something? Did you go to the caves?" We said, "Yes. How are you guys looking so fresh?" Turns out there's a light path all the way into the caves and we had just taken a unique route. We went kayaking downstream for a few hours and then we returned to the hotel looking deathly and asked, "Out of interest, how many people have done that trip from this hotel?" Turns out we were the first and they just wanted to give some tip money to Mr. Pop, who was there for work experience.
They're like, "Mr. Pop has been dead for 10 years.
That's what I was hoping for. I was really hoping that they turn around and he wasn't there and he was a figment of their imagination.
Wow. Mr. Pop, I wonder what he's doing now.
Probably more of those tours.
Yeah. More of this. More of this, really.
Yeah.
All right. So this guy has got two. I've got another one. All right. Here we go. Okay. He says try and keep it shorter. It's very long. It says, basically, we were told in Chiang Mai the party stopped about 1 a.m, but we didn't believe it and tipped the tuk-tuk driver to take us somewhere different. He's rock and roll through and through. He's the party's always going on when Minty's about. At first, he just took us to an abandoned warehouse with a load of Westerners. And after shocking the Americans with how British gents like to dance at the party, we got into another tuk-tuk. Jimmy lost his second phone of the trip, which was my work phone I'd given him as backup. Tuk-tuk driver took us to what looked like a pharmacy and there was lights on. I was slightly nervous about what may happen. We realised there were no Westerners there and this was perfect. A party in a pharmacy-type building, we were led upstairs to a small purple-lit room that reminded me of Vice City nightclub. We were shown drink menus that were like £20 a drink and I knew this was going wrong already. Loads of girls jumped on Jimmy and he was lost in there. So I tried to get
jumped on
lost in there.
So I tried to get him out and a huge bouncer stopped me from leaving the room. I had to do something, so I pretended to be from Interpol. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
And suggested he move out of the way for his sake. I have no idea how it Interpol? Worked, but it did.
As in the band or the actual organisation?
I'm in Interpol, have you heard of us?
Like, no, because no one fucking has. I grabbed Jimmy and ran out the door and shouted tuk-tuk at the first car I seen in angst. Turns out that was a sports car and all of a sudden the blacked out windows rolled down and there were gorgeous ladies in the back. The mood changed very quickly as a small man jumped out of the car donning a red and black leather jacket
and
had many necklace beads. No, he's like, "Mr. Pop is my father. Just call me Pop. Mini Pop."
Ice Pop.
I had many options racing through my... Oh, wait, I know. Have I read up? But yeah. He grabbed me and I apologised immediately, but he shouted, "Tuk, tuk, have you seen this car?" I realised made a massive error in my rush to get away, and understandably, he was annoyed. He went to pull out a Glock pistol. I had to push him further up the car to stop him. I knew it was a Glock pistol because I'm an old CS gamer and had fired one in Estonia.
I took it out of his hands and I dismantled it immediately.
What are you worried about?
It sounded to start quite Partridge.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh, you know professionals." He's like, "I'm not. I'm making a shitload back home at IT support." There's no way is this guy not working in IT support, let me tell you. I had many options racing through my head. Stop him with force, because he's also a black belt. He hasn't mentioned it. Black belt in four different types of martial arts. Stop him with force, not really an option in that situation with all those people. or shout for Jimmy for backup. I look back and Jimmy is drunk chatting to what appeared to be a gangster's Rottweiler with pointy spikes around its neck. So I thought, humour is the way. Mate, I tell you what, could have done with a bit of humour in these two fucking stories. I whispered into the furious man's ear, what did the Mexican say when he threw his wife off the cliff? A long, extremely long pause occurred and I yelped, tequila. There was further pause, then an explosion. He's done the joke wrong as well. Then an explosion of laughter for him and nervously for me. He pat me on the back and said, "You English guys are crazy. I like it." Offered us lift home, and we politely declined and made our way home. Yeah. That's the end of it.
How much of that do you think happened?
Chalk out to didn't happen. I think on all of that.
Maybe they went to Thailand.
I want a picture of Mr. Pop. There's no way you didn't take a picture of Mr. Pop.
Good. Well done.
Those are some holiday stories. We're running out of time here, but there are more of those which we will get around to next week. I promise.
How did this start? Who's horrible holiday story did this start with? Because they're like, out of all my friends, that like, you actually go on holidays quite, like you enjoy.
You look
holidays.
Like you've had hard holiday stories, but no. You just go on holiday.
No, you go on a lot of holidays. That's not unfair to say, is it? Like you go on like
yeah.
So you must have had some wild ones.
I actually can't think of anything, but I'm going to Bali in September. We'll see if that actually happens. So maybe I'll have some stories then.
You might meet
Mr. Pop. But yeah, so how did this start? whose story did this start?
I think
with?
Joe just suggested it.
Oh, okay.
It might have come from another piece of feedback. I think it might have been someone might have had a drowning story that was linked to a bad holiday.
Oh, yeah, I think that's
and
what it was.
Went on to that.
Love it. Love it, boys.
This is what this podcast is now, Joe.
Love it. That's good. Well, that was great.
That was a pleasure. It was nice to have you back.
Thank you for having me on, boys. Anytime, honestly.
Cool. Well, you know, don't
except for when you're working and stuff.
Except for when I got stuff on.
Yeah. Should we have a bit of Last of Us music? Because The Last of Us has great music. That's my opinion. If you want more,
you put come your back career next on week. That?
See ya.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.